First Peter chapter 4, looking there at verse 12, says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Partakers of Christ's suffering, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, I do come to You again now, and I need You. And I pray, Lord, You'll use me here today. I pray You'll fill me with Your Spirit. Pray You'll get me out of the way and give me Your thoughts, Your clarity, and Your direction, and Your words to say here today. And Lord, I do pray You'll speak to those here today and even over the internet as well. Lord, I just pray You'll do what only You can do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you do not know the Word of God, you do not know the Bible, you do not know what the Bible says, and suffering comes upon you, you're probably going to start questioning God. You might say something like, "Well, God doesn't know that I'm suffering. God must not know that I'm suffering. He's allowed this suffering in my life." But then somewhere down the line, you'll realize that God knows all things. And next, you might say something like, "Well, He might know that I'm suffering, He just doesn't care. It's obviously He must not care about me because I'm going through this suffering right now." But then you might say something, "Well, He does know and He does care, He just can't do anything about it." But let me tell you, God does know, God does care, and He can do anything and everything that He wants to do about it. Now, as Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, He warned His disciples over and over again that they were in a battle. They were in a battle, and Jesus wanted them to be prepared, to be watchful, so that they would not be taken by surprise by the enemy. You see, we do have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is real. The enemy is real. Satan is real. The devil is real. He is not some symbol of evil in our world today. He is real. And he opposes God, and he opposes all of God's people. Right? If you're born again here today, that means you too. He opposes you. And you know, the world has this picture of a fat man that's all in a red suit with a pitchfork. That's not the devil. Right? That's not the devil. The devil is wicked. The devil is evil. The devil wants to destroy you and I, and he will do anything and everything that he can to deceive you. He's got this world so deceived. He's got the world deceived in so many ways, and he wants to deceive the world, and he wants to capture you. And I mean, remember, think about it. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil tempted Jesus. The devil had the audacity, the nerve, the to go and tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. He tempted him out in the wilderness. Jesus believed him to be real. Jesus considered him to be dangerous. Jesus considered him to be a real foe to us, and so should we. So should we. The Lord has warned us over and over in His Word that we are dealing with a dangerous and a deadly foe. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You see, Satan will do anything and everything to get you. To get you to quit, to get you to give up. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. He wants to devour our kids. He wants to devour our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. He doesn't want to stop. He's been at it for couple thousand, 6,000 years he's been at it. It hasn't stopped since Adam and Eve. It didn't stop at the cross. It didn't stop with you and I. He's going to continue on. And I'm going to tell you, living for the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be easy in this world. It's not going to be easy. See, when we live for Jesus, I mean when we really live for Jesus, when we live godly, when we live a righteous, godly life, and the Lord, He's our Savior, but He's our Lord, and He's our King of Kings. When we truly live for Him, it's going to come. Persecution is going to come. Trials are going to come. Storms are going to come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." He doesn't say maybe or might, or you don't know, you might and you maybe not, but no, he says shall. You shall suffer persecution. It's a definite. It's going to happen if you live godly in Christ Jesus. So I ask you today, are you suffering persecution? You see, we can profess Christianity and live in a bubble and never do anything with the Lord, and the devil could care less. But when you go out and you start witnessing to people and you start preaching the gospel and you start doing things for the Lord, the devil's going to get mighty mad. The devil's going to get mighty mad, and persecution is going to come, and he wants you to quit. Now, we've all known Christians along the way who folded up and they quit. The fiery trials, those fiery darts came upon them, and maybe that's one of us today. Maybe one of us has succumbed to the devil. But somewhere along the line, somewhere along this race that we're in, somewhere along the Christian life, we have got to learn to stand up against the devil. We've got to learn to stand up against the trials, the temptations. None of us like to suffer. None of us like going through a storm. None of us like trials to come upon us. But yet the Bible tells us over and over again that suffering for a Christian should be a normal expectation. It should be a normal thing for us to expect it, because he tells us, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So today I'm going to just give you a few things that we can do in times of suffering. Number one, I want you to see that we can prepare for this. We need to prepare for the time when it's coming. If you're not in a storm right now, it's coming. If you're getting out of a storm, another one's going to be coming as well. We need to take this time to prepare for it. Over in Psalm 139, in verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Hey, search me, O God. Has sin gotten into my life? Has sin hindered my relationship with the Lord? I need to prepare for this suffering. First thing I need to do is get right with the Lord. Is there sin in my life? That search me, O God. Hey, not the person next to me, not my neighbor, not my spouse, not my children. Search me, O God. This is personal, and you have to claim it. Search me, O God. This is between you and the Lord. You're seeking His righteousness. Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking Him now in the time of preparation? Or are you seeking Him in the storm? Seeking Him, making sure there's not any sin in your life, because that sin has separated us from God. Sin in your life will separate you from a holy walk with God. In Psalm 68:18, he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." The Lord will not hear me. If there's sin in my heart, the communication has been broken. There is a barrier. There is a delay. There is a problem there. If I'm hiding iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. When that storm comes, when that suffering comes, I didn't prepare right. And now I'm in the midst of it, and our communication has been faulted. Talk about humbling ourselves, right? Pride goeth before destruction, and pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So many times we've gone through prayer the last few weeks, and we talk about humbling ourselves. So we got to humble ourselves, seek the Lord's face, and pray. But when we do seek the Lord's face, we seek His forgiveness. The Lord will forgive us of our sin. If we just confess it, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He don't remember those sins anymore. They're gone. Once you confess it, you can forsake it. Don't let the devil keep tempting you and beating you up with that. You confess it. The promise is He's forgiven you. He's forgiven you, and now it's time to move on. And now it's time to move on. We are clean. We have been forgiven. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. So we need to prepare for the suffering by getting right with the Lord. And we also need to present our bodies to the Lord for service. Over in Acts chapter 9, Saul, who we know as Paul, he gets saved there in Acts chapter 9. He's on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians, have them arrested, put into jail. But along the road there, he gets saved. He meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets saved. And he says this in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. He says, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" Right? He got saved. He asked the Lord, what is it that He wants the Lord for him to do? When is the last time you asked the Lord what He wanted you to do? Have you asked the Lord if what He wants you to do? Have you asked the Lord if He wants you to sing a special? Have you asked the Lord if He wants you to go soul winning? Has the Lord asked you? Have you asked the Lord if He wants you to teach a Sunday school class or go out on the bus or whatever the case might be? Right? Whatever the case might be, have you present your bodies to the Lord for service? Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, you know the verse, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your" what? "Reasonable service." Hey, He says, give your bodies, present your bodies for His service, and it's just our reasonable service. It's not just for the preacher or the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the music leader or the piano player. It's for everybody. We're to present our bodies. It's a living sacrifice, and that's our reasonable service. Hey, it's just reasonable to serve the Lord. You understand that? It's just reasonable to be faithful to church. It's just reasonable to read our Bible every day. It's just reasonable to spend time in prayer and do all those things that the Lord has commanded us to do. It's just our reasonable service. But all we're doing now is preparing for the suffering to come. Also, He says there in verse 2 of Romans 12, He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hey, look, there should be some difference between the Christian and the world. We should not be conformed to the world. We should not look like the world. There should be a difference in our walk. There should be a difference in our talk. There should be a difference in our dress and our actions. There should be a difference in the places that we go and the things that we do. But to prepare for the sufferings, we must keep a close walk with the Lord. And part of that is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But we also need to strengthen ourselves in this time. We need to strengthen ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Hey, look. We're to be strong in the Lord, period. We're to be strong in Him, not us. We are so weak. It's not even funny. If when I was in the military working out every day, I used to think I was strong and so strong and invincible, right? But get sick. Get an injury. You see how weak we are? Right? We need to trust in the strength of the Lord. And in His power, in His might, we are weak. We are fleshly. He is strong. He is able. There is no other source out there that can give us strength that we need to overcome the wiles of the devil. His strength is it. His power is it. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. I must be strong in the Lord. All right? Down here in verse 16 of Ephesians 6, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." All of them. He didn't say you'll be able to defeat some of them. He says you can defeat all of them. you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. Now that word dart, it means an arrow, it means a dart, right, or a missile. So here's the thing, if Satan can't defeat you with a dart, he's going to use an arrow. And if he can't defeat you with an arrow, he's going to use a missile. And if you do not prepare in this time for the trial, if you do not prepare for the fiery trial that will come, you will be destroyed spiritually because your life will be weak and your life will be a wreck because you did not prepare properly by taking the shield of faith to quench all of the fiery darts. He tells us, be strong in the Lord. That's part of preparing. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Let's move on. Number two. All right, once we're prepared, we need to accept these sufferings as part of our life. Accept them as our life. Look there at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." How many of us, when something happens, we say, "Oh, why God? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why would God ever allow a person who loves Jesus, loves God, believes in God, follows God, why would God allow persecution in our lives? Why would God allow a suffering into our lives?" We've all probably said that before. Unfortunately, as Christians, we do not always understand the need to suffer or why we have to suffer. But normally when we do go through a time of suffering, all we do is complain. All we do is murmur and complain and we're shocked. But he says, think it not strange. It shouldn't be strange to us. Suffering as a Christian is a part of life. Too many times we suffer and we're surprised and we're shocked and we wonder, why is God not protecting us from this? Why did God allow this in our life? I don't know where it came from, but too many like Christians think, oh, once I get saved, life should be easy, right? Life should be hunky-dory and full of roses and peaches and all that. Right? Where did that ever come from? I don't know. Did it come from those TV preachers? All those old TV preachers preaching, they don't preach anything about the gospel or anything. Those Joel Osteen preachers. Hey, stay away from them Joel Osteen preachers. They don't preach the gospel. All they want is your money. They preach a social gospel. Hey, just get in the book. But hey, listening. You need to quit listening to them people because suffering, the Bible tells us that suffering is normal for a Christian. And we ought to not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And think about it again too. Like Jesus Christ, who is God, He is the Son of God, died on a Roman cross. They crucified Him on a Roman cross. The disciples of Jesus Christ were hunted down and they were martyred and put to death for their faith. People all down the world, all down the ages in the world, have been put to death for their faith. Just read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs will tell you that, hey, a Christian is going to suffer. Now, we've had it good in this country. We've had it easy in this country. But if you go to a different country, odds are that Christianity isn't welcome there. Odds are that you say Jesus, and you're risking life or death or imprisonment. If you have a Bible, imprisonment, death, that's the things that goes on in outside of the world. But those things are coming. But read Fox's Book of Martyrs. The Bible says, again, we're not to think it's strange that we are persecuted. We need to accept the sufferings as part of our life because God says so. In Mark 13:13, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." In John 15:18-20, says, If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If they had persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So why does God allow this suffering? Why does God allow this persecution in our life? I believe verse 12 tells us here. He tells us here that it is to test and try and prove us. To test us. He's going to, number one, He's going to test our faith. Our faith is tested when we go through a trial. I spoke on faith this morning. Do you have faith? Right? Our faith is tested. When we suffer for Jesus, When we're going through a trial, we're suffering for Jesus, it's going to show how strong or how weak our faith really is. Our faith will be tested in those times of trial. But also, our trust is going to be tested. Secondly, our trust will be tested. What do you turn to when you get persecuted? What do you turn to when there's a storm in your life? What do you turn to when there's a trial in your life? What do you turn to? You see, it's going to prove whether or not you really trust in the Lord. Right? We've had 2 weeks with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But when that storm comes and when that trial comes, do you really trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Right? That's going to be tested there. And the third thing it's going to do, it's going to test our patience. Our patience is going to be tested. Our patience and our endurance. You see, the more that we are tried, the more that we are persecuted, or the more suffering that comes upon us, the more we endure, our patience will be tested. Will we falter? Will we give in? Will we quit? Will the devil get another victory by us quitting? Or will we endure? You see, God's purpose in this suffering is because He wants to draw us closer to Him. God's purpose has been fulfilled if the suffering or the trial comes upon us and we have drawn close to Him. If we truly trust Him, we draw close to Him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Get rid of any sin. Present our bodies to Him. Live for Him. Trust Him. And draw nigh to Him. When those storms and those trials come, that's God's will for it to happen. That's why He allows those into our life, because He wants us closer to Him. He wants us conformed to the image of His Son. And so when these trials come, we need to accept that suffering as part of our life for good. God has a good plan for it. Let me give you a third one here. We also need to rejoice. We need to rejoice in these sufferings. Look there at verse 13 and 14 in 1 Peter 4. It says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Hey, instead of being shocked, instead of being bedazzled, confused, not knowing why, instead of being all those things, we should just rejoice. Verse 13, "But rejoice." Rejoice when that suffering comes. Rejoice when that persecution comes upon us. Rejoice because God wants to make us more like His Son. Rejoice. Now this is difficult, I understand. This is difficult. This is hard to do. Nobody likes to suffer. Nobody likes going through a storm. Nobody likes trials. But then again, are we really trusting the Lord? There's going to be times of uncomfortableness. There's going to be times where you're not comfortable. He's going to take us to that point of being not comfortable. Never in my life would I have thought I would be a pastor. Never. Never in my life would I thought I would get up in front of people and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never. I can't do that. I couldn't do that. I'm actually a very quiet person. Right? So I can't do it. But hey, the Lord called me. It was uncomfortable. There was a trial, a testing period, a growing period, a whole lot of growing periods, and every day is a growing period still. That never ends. It's a time of uncomfortableness, but hey, as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, as long as we're trusting the Lord, whatever comes at us, we can focus on the Lord because we're focused on Him. Our eyes are on Him, not on the world. We start looking around at what the devil's doing, we get sidetracked. Those sufferings are going to knock us down. They're going to knock us out. But here in verse 13, he tells us that we are to rejoice because we are partakers of Christ's suffering. You get that? We're to rejoice because we are partakers of Christ's suffering. Now, how do we partake in His suffering? How do we do that? You see, Christ went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He shed His blood and died on that cross 2,000 years ago. How can we do that? How can we partake in His suffering? Paul makes a similar statement in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 10. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The fellowship of His suffering. You see, this isn't speaking of the suffering on the cross. It's not what we're talking about. Nobody could suffer with Him. He had to suffer alone on that cross for the sin debt of the whole world. He had to do that. What we're talking about here is the suffering of an everyday, sufferings of an everyday life of a Christian. Right? The persecutions that come, the rejections that come, the hate, the disbelief, the blasphemy, the opposition from the world, the opposition from the devil. That's what we're talking about here. You see, when we suffer, we are sharing in Christ's suffering. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. If the world hate you, don't worry about it. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. When I go in, when we go and knock on the door and we begin to tell them about Jesus, you know, I'm not there for me. It's all about Jesus. I'm not there to give them what my thoughts or my opinions. I'm there to tell them about Jesus. I'm there to glorify God because He said go, so we go. If they listen, they're not listening to me. They're listening to the Lord. But get this, if they reject me, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting the Lord. If they yell at me and slam the door in my face, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting the Lord. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It's going to happen. The Bible says, Jesus says, so, hey, we are just to be faithful by doing what the Lord says. We're just to be faithful. He's already given us His Word. We just need to live by faith of His Word. If you would, hold your place here in 1 Peter, but turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 11 there. Say, why are we doing all this? Because one day we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. One day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to give an account of our lives. Everything, you know, that we've done, we'll give an account for our lives. But this is not for salvation. This is all the saved people at the judgment seat of Christ. Look there at verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when we start comparing ourselves, we need to compare ourselves to Jesus. Not the world, not our neighbor. The foundation laid is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So all of our work is going into the fire. Everything that we've done is going into the fire, but is it going to be burnt up, or will it be left there to get a reward for it? It says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, this isn't for salvation. His work that's being burnt is the loss of a reward. We're talking about rewards here, you know, for being faithful. For doing the Lord's work, there's going to be rewards. And if you don't do that, there's not going to be any rewards. See, there's not going to be a rewards handed out there for people that were faithful to our earthly jobs and they weren't faithful to church. There aren't going to be any rewards for people that were a good worker down at the plant, but they never did anything for the Lord. See, are we bringing people to Christ? Are we winning the lost? That's what I'm talking about here. See, we all have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account. The opposite to this here is the great white throne judgment. All the lost will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. And all the saved will be there watching. I believe we'll be there watching, and as one by one they're cast into the lake of fire, and I'm wondering, will there be people there that I know? Will there be people there that I did not witness to? Will there be people there that I meant to witness to but never did? Will there be people there going into the lake of fire that I never gave them the gospel? Or will there be anybody there at the judgment seat of Christ going to heaven because I shared the Lord Jesus Christ with them? See, that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. But Christ here in our text, He was rejected of men because He lived a righteous life. And so when we suffer with Christ, we're suffering for Christ, we are suffering for the very same reason that He suffered. And let me tell you this. Happiness comes through suffering. Do you believe me? Happiness, let's say it with me. Happiness comes through suffering. Happiness comes through suffering. Matthew, 1 Peter 3:14 says, "But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you." Happy are you. Hey, when we suffer for His sake, for the Lord's sake, for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And He goes on and says, "And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Hey, whatever the fiery dart the devil wants to throw at us, let him throw it at us. We trust in the Lord. We suffer for His righteousness, for His sake. Happy are ye. In Matthew 5:11, He says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are you." And then in Acts 5, verse 40 and 41, He says, "And to Him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus Christ, and let them go." And verse 41 says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had counted, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." The disciples are arrested. They're beaten. Told, "Don't preach Jesus anymore." They're beaten. Then they're released, and they count themselves worthy to suffer shame for His name. They're worthy. See, they suffered for righteousness' sake. Happy are you. Happy are you. I mean, they were partakers in Christ's suffering. Boy, can this be our testimony? Can this be my testimony? When the times come, when the trials come, when the storms come, to suffer for righteousness' sake. Happy are you. James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Let me give you another one here. When those storms come, hey, we need to endure the suffering. We need to endure it. Endure it till the end. How long is it going to last? Endure it to the end. In 1 Peter 4:16, says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Hey, whatever it is we're going through, what do? We just glorify Him. Do not be ashamed. Do not ponder. Do not wonder. Do not think about it. Just glorify Him. Endure the suffering. Ridiculed, mocked, cursed, persecuted. Hey, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. We just need to glorify God. Over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, John's given a glimpse into heaven. And in verse number 8, you have the... So then the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So in heaven, all they're doing all day long is glorifying God. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and is to come." That's what's going on in heaven. That's what we have to look forward to. That's why we need to endure the suffering here. That's why we need to suffer for His sake. Endure the suffering till the end. Take a stand. Fight back against the devil. Fight back against those temptations. Don't just succumb to them. Stand firm. Glorify God. Honor Him. And endure the suffering. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, it says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body." You see, Jesus went to the cross and suffered for us. And when we are afflicted, we need to endure. It might seem like we're about to be defeated. It might look like defeat is in the midst. It's going to happen. But we just need to quit complaining and try praising the Lord. In the midst of whatever it is, praise the Lord. You want to defeat the devil? Praise the Lord. So here's the thing with that. Too many times our life is well. We live in a great country. Our country is still great. It is still the greatest country, and we do have it easy in this country. We've had more things and more money and more things now than any generation. We don't really have a want in this country nowadays. And so life has become easy, and we have become kind of numb, and we just kind of left them out. You're exactly right. We left them out. And when this happens, what else? We don't pray like we should. We've left Him out, so we don't pray like we should. We don't worship Him like we should. We don't read our Bible like we should, because we're just comfortable. There's nothing really going on. We're just comfortable. Right? The devil's keeping us comfortable. You think about the disciples in Jerusalem. The disciples were comfortable. They were content in Jerusalem. They could have stayed there, but God said, "You got to go into all the world." And so what did He do? He brought persecution upon them. Greatest thing that ever happened. It scattered them all out everywhere. The Word went out. Preaching went out. The Word of God went out. Why? Persecution. A lot of great things happen when the church is persecuted. When trials come, a lot of great things happen. And that's just the case of what it is. But a lot of times when this happens, God has to do something to wake us up. And what He does is He sends that suffering. He sends that persecution. But now when you're suffering, or when you're having a trial upon you, what do you turn to? What is it you turn to? What is your go-to? You know, many people have family or friends or social media. Some people have food. Some people have pills. Whatever the case might be, people turn to all these different things instead of turning to the one deliverer. There's only one deliverer. There's only one that can deliver you. There's only one that can free you from your sin. There's only one that can free you from your storm, from your trial. And we know, I keep going back to this, but we know when Jesus got into that boat there, when they were going across the Sea of Galilee in that storm, when Jesus came to him and he got in the boat, the storm was over. The storm was over. So whatever it is, that storm that you're going through, we just need to trust Him. Right? Trust Him. In Isaiah 43:2, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the fire. They went into the fiery furnace. They were willing to give their lives and die because they were not going to bow to the king. We're not bowing to the king. We worship the one true God, Jehovah God. We're not going to bow. And they went into that fire, and God delivered them. God delivered them. He did a mighty things. And we just need to remember in our storm, in our trial, in our suffering, whatever it is, we just trust the Lord, rely on Him. Hey, He's the key to it. He's the key to it. Billy Sunday once said, "Hey, don't throw your ticket away when the train goes into the tunnel. It will come out the other side." Trial's not forever. Storm isn't forever. It's temporary. Don't throw your ticket away when the train goes into the tunnel. It will come out the other side. When the storm comes, don't give up. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That day when we stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and we give an account, then we're going to see things a whole lot differently than we see them now. As we go through life, we need to remember there's going to be difficult days. There's going to be tough times. But remember, God says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He is with us. And you know what else? We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. The Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. At that moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're born again, that Holy Spirit is in you. He has the power. God has the power. We are weak. Trust Him. He will keep our hearts in perfect peace, regardless of how difficult the way becomes, regardless of how difficult the storm is, the trial is. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusted in Thee." You get where we're going? We got to trust in Him. We got to trust in the Lord no matter what it is, no matter what we're going through. Just give it to the Lord and trust Him. Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Hey, the times of suffering will come. We need to prepare for it. Are you prepared for it? We also need to accept it. When it comes into our life, accept it. We need to rejoice in it, and we need to endure till the end. Partakers of Christ's suffering. Think about that the next time that storm comes upon your life. Partakers of Christ's suffering. Let's pray.